reviewing the latest Commanders news and looking ahead to free agency next on Command Fan. What's going on, Commanders fans, and welcome back to another episode of Command Fan. I'm your host, Tate Edwards, and sorry for the lack of content for the last week or so. I've been very sick with a cold, and my voice has not sounded good at all. So I'm back at it, though, so I'm excited to get this podcast out to you guys and future ones, because free agency is next week, and I couldn't be more excited to see what this ownership group does and also the new management under Adam Peters and Dan Quinn as well. But they recently just made their first splash signing, I guess you could say, signing tight end Zach Ertz to a one-year deal worth up to $5 million. So I like this move. I think it's a very good move. I think it's going to be a very good tight end for the new rookie quarterback, whoever comes in. I mean, maybe it is rookie quarterback. No one really knows right now, but I think it's a good signing. He has a lot of experience in Cliff Kingsbury's offense, as Cliff Kingsbury was the head coach in Arizona. And under Kingsbury, Ertz had 103 catches for 980 yards and 7 touchdowns in 21 games that he played for Kingsbury. So that's very good. That's very good stats, I think, for a tight end. We all know what Zach Ertz is capable of doing. As he was in Philadelphia, we've watched him tear up this defense for years. It seems like Zach Ertz is 33 years old and has played 11 seasons in the NFL. So he's definitely not getting any younger, but he still has definitely got some left in the tank. Actually, on the Pat McAfee show today, he was talking about when he heard that Cliff Kingsbury was going to Washington and he was a free agent, he wanted to be here. So that's good that he wants to be here. Cliff Kingsbury wanted him, so they got the deal done. It's a one-year deal, so it's not anything that they're stuck to Ertz for if he gets hurt or if he's not playing the way they thought. So it's basically just maybe a prove-it deal a little bit, but he's also only 33, so his time in the NFL is coming to an end, but he's definitely, like I said, still got some left in the tank, but he's got to stay healthy. Zach Ertz has definitely been an injury-prone player his career, so staying healthy is going to be the key part. I definitely see us targeting another tight end, either to be his backup or possibly the starter, and maybe draft one in the draft. So we'll see what route they take, but I would say Zach Ertz is not going to be the only tight end signing or draft selection this offseason. I think there's definitely another one to come in. And the reason why they did that is because of the cuts that they did earlier this week with cutting Charles Leno, the left tackle. That move will save $7.2 million, which frees up even more cap space for us to work with and play with. And we have the most in the NFL, and now we definitely do. With Charles Leno being cut, everyone really kind of expected this move. He's getting up there in age. He was a solid left tackle for us, but we're looking to get younger and to really start solidifying that spot, because it's kind of been an up and down, just kind of up and down position with the left tackle and also the offensive line. So we want to solidify that. Maybe we sign one in free agency, spend some of the money there, or draft a left tackle. I think drafting one is more realistic, or I think what is going to happen, because they want to build through the draft. So we'll see. $7.2 million, though, saves a lot of money. Expected cut. I wish Charles Leno all the best. I think he should have some interest from teams in free agency. I don't really know what teams to be exact, but teams that need an upgrade for a left tackle should definitely reach out to Charles Leno, because he's definitely serviceable for at least a couple more years. Logan Thomas, we cut Logan Thomas, and that saves $6.5 million against the cap. He's just been really too injury prone. When he has played, he's been a good tight end, but we definitely need an upgrade in that. Also, we signed Zach Ertz. I would say that's an upgrade over Logan Thomas, but Logan Thomas was a big body tight end. He was smart. He used to play quarterback, so he could really help out Sam Howell or whoever he was playing, whoever he was throwing the ball to him. So $6.5 million against the cap. Again, it's expected cut. No surprises here. Just did it. Just was injured a lot, and also just it's save a lot of money to cut him. So, and we need to move. We need to get younger at that position, as we're going to get younger at quarterback. So, and then we also cut Nick Gates, which this will cost us $5.3 million against the cap because of the contract that he signed last offseason, the three-year deal, $16.5 million and $8 million guaranteed. Nick Gates just did not play well at all this past season, so definitely a expected and not surprising cut. So all these cuts are not surprising, and they're all expected. Nick Gates, maybe you could say, was the most surprising one just because they just signed him. But yeah, he didn't play good at all. He got benched at one point, and yeah, it just didn't work out here, and it was very expected. So not really too much to go off with the cuts, but Zach Ertz signing, I do like it. He's just got to stay healthy. He is getting older, so it's kind of hard to see what he's going to do. He was productive last season in Arizona, so it's definitely going to be interesting to see how he fits in the offense, because he had experience with Cliff Kingsbury's offense, so he's probably going to be a vocal point. He's probably going to be the starting tight end, barring any major signings or drafting Brock Bowers or something. So we'll see what happens there, but he's probably going to be the starter come week one. So free agency, obviously the deadline to use the franchise tag is passed, and Cam Curl did not get franchise tagged by the team, which that was really the only, I guess you could say, candidate to be franchise tagged, and he did not get franchise tagged. If the franchise would have franchise tagged him, it would have cost them $17.1 million. And I would have liked to see them do that to Cam Curl, franchise tag him, or try to extend him. I think he's a great player. He was definitely a seventh-round gem when Ron Rivera drafted him out of Arkansas. But, well, I mean, they still definitely could re-sign him in free agency, kind of let him test the market, see if it's what he thought. Maybe it's not what he thought. Maybe bring it back on a cheaper deal. But there's also a ton of safeties in this free agency class because of all the cuttings that have happened. Most notably today, Justin Simmons getting released from the Broncos. Jamal Adams got released, and Jordan Poyer got released, just to name a few. Like, there's much more safeties on the market than just those three names, but those are probably the biggest names on the market, if you want to say so. So I think we're definitely going to be in the market for a safety or two. Probably only one safety. I think they're going to go with Quan Martin, the rookie last year from Illinois. I think he showed some flashes, especially in the last game of the year, where he had his best game of the year. So yeah, Cam Curl, I'm interested to see what happens. I would probably lean towards he's going to go to another team, but I've seen him linked to teams like the Packers, who need a safety. So he's definitely going to have a market, maybe not the biggest market because of how many big-name safeties are out there, but whoever gets Cam Curl is going to get a good safety. But Dan Quinn emphasized turnovers on the defense, and Cam Curl just doesn't turn the ball over. He had no interceptions last year. I don't remember how many he's had in his career, but it's not too many. So maybe they try to go more towards the ball hawking safety, maybe not the hard hitting safety that Cam Curl was. But I still can see us bringing back Cam Curl, but it's just all gotta see like what Dan Quinn thinks, what Adam Peters thinks. Maybe he was asking for too much money due to conversation talks about contracts. So we'll see what kind of safety they bring in. I expect them to bring in at least one due to Cam Curl leaving. On the offensive side of the ball, looking ahead of free agency, we definitely need to bring in, if not one, if not multiple offensive linemen. I expect at least one to be signed. One that I've had my eye on is the tackle from New England. It's hard to pronounce his name, like Unquanu or something like that. I should have his name pulled up, but I do not have it right now. But he's a name that I've seen linked to Washington. The draft is very tackle deep, so the offensive line is definitely not a weakness for the draft. So I could see us drafting multiple offensive linemen in the draft. I think we'll go more interior, maybe draft Chris Paul's brother, Patrick Paul, out of Houston. I do like him in the draft, but I think we're definitely going to sign one, if not two or three offensive linemen. We could also see a linebacker signing due to Cody Barton leaving and just not having depth of that position at all. I think the only active linebacker on the roster is Kalik Hudson and Jamin Davis. So unless they want to develop Kalik Hudson and promote him to being a starter and seeing what he's got, I think we're definitely going to see a linebacker signing as well as a lineman signing. One name that I hope to see Washington target is the linebacker from Baltimore, Patrick Queen. To my knowledge, he is going to hit the market. He's going to test it. He didn't get franchise tagged by the Ravens. So I think that would be a very good signing if we could get Patrick Queen to Washington, because we have a big, big need at the linebacker position. And I think Patrick Queen is a good young linebacker that could co-side against with Jamin Davis and make that linebacking core really good, opposed to what it has been the past couple years. So that's really the only notable name for linebackers. I know, like, guys like Bobby Wagner, I'd rather go young in that at that position. So Bobby Wagner, I would see him maybe getting a 1-year, 2-year deal, but I'm assuming Bobby Wagner wants to go to a team that is competing for a Super Bowl. That's probably not going to be us, although I would love it to be us, but it's probably not going to be us. So Bobby Wagner is probably not going to be a name that we try to go after. I've seen him linked to us, like, with Pro Football Focus, PFF. He has, like, top two fits for Bobby Wagner was us, and then I think, I don't remember the other team, maybe it was Dallas. I think it was Dallas and us. So, but I don't see that happening, but I would love Patrick Queen to be a target for this team. And then also, staying on the defensive side, corner. I think corner is a big need as well. Drafting Emmanuel Forbes last year, and we have Benjamin St. Juice. So those are the only two corners, with letting Kendra Fuller walk. We didn't really see the organization extending Kendall Fuller, so that was expected as well. But I think we definitely need to go after a corner, maybe sign a veteran corner, maybe one that's a little older than him to help develop Emmanuel Forbes. The corner market, I don't think is too strong this year. So if we want to sign one, I think we got to sign one on day one before the good ones are gone. Maybe even bring back Kendall Fuller on like a 2 or 3 year deal, which I think is definitely possible because he's been a solid corner. Every year he's been here, I've liked Kendall Fuller. He can turn the ball over. He got a pick six 2 years ago against Dallas. So I think Kendall Fuller could definitely be on his way back to be a Commander, but we will see what happens with the market. And then I just wanted to talk about the combine really quickly, because a lot of the quarterbacks didn't throw, which is obviously going to be the biggest position that Commander fans watch. So Caleb Williams didn't throw, Jaden Daniels didn't throw or run, and Drake May didn't throw or run. So one thing I wanted to talk about was Caleb Williams. He didn't even show any of his medical records. When he was in the interview, it kind of just, I didn't really like his vibe, if I'm going to be totally honest. Like, he kind of made it sound like he was better than everybody there. Like, the teams have the tape, they can watch me on that. So I don't think it's a great look for Caleb Williams, especially with the rumors circulating even before the combine, saying that, like, he wants part of ownership of the team, like part stick in the team, like that. I don't know. Caleb Williams is a great talent. Me being from Utah, like, I'm a big Utes fan, so going up against USC in the Pac-12 championship and just playing Caleb Williams, like, he's, and the Nils thing didn't really bother me too much. I think it's just kind of him being the athlete he is and the competitor he is, but it's definitely kind of a red flag to not throw or run or not provide any medical records, being you're the first player to ever do it at the combine. So people are definitely looking into that and dissecting that. I don't really know how to take it. I think it's more of a good look, or more of a bad look than a good look. So that's really the kind of headline for quarterbacks, I guess, because none of the big names threw. Bo Nix threw, J.J. McCarthy threw, and Michael Penix threw, just to name a few, at the combines. But we all wanted to see Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May, because those are the three guys that are expected to go in the top three, assuming the top three teams take a quarterback and no trades are done. And then Jaden Daniels, with his interview, and Drake May as well, they were all impressed by the Washington staff. I think Jaden Daniels alluded to that the staff is really cool, and that he liked his interview, as well as Drake May. So it's going to be really interesting. The draft is one of the most fascinating drafts we've had in recent years, with how many quarterback prospects there are and how many good quarterback prospects there are, with Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. As of right now, I'd still want to take Jaden Daniels at number two, not Drake May. But at the end of the day, like, it doesn't really matter who they take. I'm going to support the quarterback no matter what because I want to win. So I think I would still take Jaden Daniels. Drake May is still QB3 in my opinion behind Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. So assuming Caleb Williams goes number one, I think Jaden Daniels should be the pick still, barring anything crazy or anything that gets leaked or that comes out about Jaden Daniels, then my opinion stays on Jaden Daniels. So, yeah, thank you guys so much for joining the pod. Make sure you guys do subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you're listening right now. Please leave me a review if you feel like leaving me some feedback and maybe commenting and giving me some ideas for future episodes. So, yeah, thanks again for listening, and hail to the Commanders.